Zo, ondertussen in de studio Zacharias Gitehun. You worked for the volunteer.
I was working for 1 year regular basis till November.
For PSC.
Yes, for Protestant Social Centrum. And since then I'm currently working as a volunteer, in fact.
Tell me, you're a refugee yourself. How did you come here?
It's been 4 years since I came here, and I was working as a journalist in Ethiopia. And,
yes.
As you may very well know, most African countries, press freedom. Is a real commodity, so to speak, and because of circumstance, personal circumstance, I had to flee my country and came here, and it's been more than 3 years now that I've been recognized as a refugee. And,
what here I am. Your job consists in?
I mainly worked for a print, the print journalism. That was I was a senior reporter for an English daily newspaper called the Ethiopian Herald, and I also worked as an editor for Amharic newspapers.
Yeah. But I mean here in Belgium.
Since I came here, if I say a big thing that I've done is I've done my postgraduate here, and I've also been working as a social worker, so to speak, for Protestant Social Center, and I was responsible for voluntary return, a program which is organized by the International Organization of Migration.
And voluntary return is that people decide to go back in their own country.
Indeed.
And you surround them and you give them support to go back, or what do you do exactly with them, what did you do?
Apparently, the organization which is responsible for organizing the return is the International Organization of Migration.
Hmm?
But there are around 70 partner organizations in Belgium which coordinate, who serve as a bridge between the returnee. And the organization which organizes the return. So Protestant Social Center Antwerpen is one of these organizations.
And how many people do return every year? Do you see?
Yes, in fact, when I started working in November 2006, and then I saw at the end of the year 2006 that there were around 60 people who...
60.
Who returned back to their countries, and till now in the year 2007 we have had slightly more than 100 people who have benefited from this program. There have been an increase.
What's the main reason why people want to go back? Is it like they feel the racism, or they just don't adapt to life here, or what's the reason?
Well, basically there are three categories of returnees. We have three categories. We call category A, B, and C. Category A is for asylum seekers whose procedure is still running. For one reason or another, they all of a sudden they want to call off their procedure and want to go back for various reasons. And the second and the main group are those whose asylum requests have been rejected.
Rejected, yes.
And they want to return back because they haven't succeeded with their procedure. These are more than the 50% of cases. And the third one is a group of people who haven't asked asylum.
Mm-hmm.
And we can call them economic immigrants or other sorts of immigrants. We've been here for years, and they all of a sudden cannot support it anymore and want to go back. So we basically have these three categories, but mostly are people who have their procedure terminated or whose asylum requests have been rejected.
Someone else?
So how do you accompany them in their preparation to go back? And if you talk about refugees, maybe they fear things in their country. Do they still return then, or how do you?
Well, there are one. If we see one type of refugees who decide to go back, for example, if the situation in their country of origin change, like in most cases this year that I have worked with Nepalese refugees, after the Maoist rebels agreed the ceasefire with the government there, there have been considerable number of Nepalese whose claim have been rejected. They say, okay, we no longer have the reason to stay here, that the situation is getting better, so we want to go back. And the others are people, I mean, who still run risks going back, and yet they want to face the problems home than in a place they are alien to.
Are they given the money to go back or not?
Yes, in fact, they are entitled to an incentive package of €250
mm-hmm.
on their return before their flight on the airport, and then IOM pay for their evidently their tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another important aspect of return, which is what's called the reintegration project. So people, I mean, when they go back to their countries, they may have to start things from scratch. So IOM has a package. They have a financial package from ranging from 700 to 1,000. They choose for a project of their own, something which they are familiar with. That's mainly part of my job, to do the counseling thing with them. What projects do they intend to do back in their country? It can be in terms of opening a small retail shop. It can be about opening an internet cafe, etc. And once they make up their mind what to do, and then we see if the project is feasible or not, if it falls within the budget,
mm-hmm.
And then they work on that once they go back to their countries. If they are we also have what we call vulnerable cases, if the returnee is sick and needs medical attention, we also see that the way he can get that assistance once he's back or she's back in her country.
So if I understand, they are given €1,000 to a maximum 1,000.
Yes, but here I have to underline the fact that they are not given.
It's for a project. I mean, yes,
it's a translated a project.
Mm-hmm.
But the 250 that they get is actually in cash that they are given on their departure here at the airport.
And
do you have contact with people who returned and had this money for the project?
Yes. In fact, the Protestant Social Center Antwerpen, I've been to two meetings organized by the International Organization of Migration in Brussels, and there have been success stories, so speak, about returnees and the period 3 to 6 months after their return and what they have accomplished with their projects. And we've had the success stories from our organization here that there have been returnees who have returned back to their country, who have been able to complete their education, their trainings from where they stopped. And he finished his master's in business administration and is now working. And another, he asked for his project was to actually have a training in mountain climbing that IOM bought for him materials. And now that he's doing very well with accompanying trekkers and mountain climbers, and I receive emails and we check on each other how they are doing, and there have been really encouraging things I mean, the whole idea is that, in fact, the very first thing that the person who's, the go-between the returnees and the organization of the International Organization of Migration is that people, when they come here, they don't have to take return as a failure, but they take it as a prospect. So I think I can say a lot of cases it has worked very well, and we've met our objectives in that case.
And these people, how do they find a way to PSC? Are they sent by other organizations? Or?
Indeed. I mean, mostly for rejected asylum seekers, when they receive a letter from the Commissariat General for Refugees and Stateless People, they, with a negative decision that they receive, they also are given information about voluntary return. And in the paper, they find different addresses in the cities or the towns they live. So they contact the nearest organization which deal with their return. And others come, and mostly they come via. Friends inform them about the possibility of voluntary return, along with their integration projects and etc. So they come with this information from different sources, but mostly they come through their friends who have already returned and so forth.
The people who return, how long do they live already in Belgium? Are they long? The people with families with kids who are going to school?
Well, it depends. We've had cases from 1 week to 7-8 years. When I say mostly, the short cases are like immigrants from East Europe. They come here. And especially immigrants from the new EU member countries, they come here thinking that they might easily find a job. And they see the situation differently, and they say they have no money to go back, so they go back. In fact, if they haven't made 3 months here, they are not entitled either to the 250 euros that most refugees get. And the others are people who just can't take it anymore to wait for so long for their regularizations and so forth. And they get also negative decisions for their regularization requests. So the timing differs from people to people. I have also families, for example, from Ecuador who've been here for 8 months. And they have had a 7 years old son was born here, and another kid up also born here, and all of a sudden, yeah, they can't take it anymore, and they decide to go back.
You said it yourself. Most of the people you help are people who have been rejected actually by the community or by the society. But isn't that hard? That at the same time, in the future or already right now, we need people to work here and. Other are sent back.
Yes, that is the whole irony. But yeah, it's said the country need people and so on and so forth. But there are different political parties who campaign differently on this issue. So they're never sure if actually their expertise is needed, or one day they may get recruited into the labor market and work. But in the meantime, these people have to have housing, they have to have access to health facilities, and I mean, their basic needs are still not met, and they are never sure when this will happen. So, yeah, and they one day they say, it's all, and we go back.
But isn't that an issue we should also work on, like the conditions of people who live here also, so that they don't go back, or so that the conditions get better, they don't have to go back?
Yes, I mean, we shouldn't also forget the fact that there are actually people who want to go back, whatever the situation here, because yes, the situation in their country has improved and they want to go back. There is no more those reasons who drove them from their home, still the case in their country. But these are really the least number of people who mm-hmm. decide in such circumstances. But most people decide to go back because, the final decision from the state council says they have to go back and they decide to go back. So yes. It's personal circumstances.
Are you familiar with some cases who are returning and get in trouble with the government? Because of the reasons they took political asylum, for instance.
Yes, I mean...
They go back, and nevertheless they get again in trouble with the local government.
Yes.
Or the government.
Yes.
Police and whatsoever.
Yeah, I have... I had an email from a Nepalese who went back thinking that the ceasefire would hold.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't the case. It broke down after 3 months of his arrival.
He got in trouble again.
Yes. Apparently, he couldn't travel to Kathmandu, to mm-hmm. the IOM office in Kathmandu, to get his reintegration assistance because the village that he was, mm-hmm. he went back, it was no more accessible by road to Kathmandu because the rebels again mm-hmm. took control of mm-hmm. the village and everything. So, yeah. There are some unpredictable things which can happen.
So you say also there's a risk to go back?
Of course, there is a risk to go back. For example, when there are Iraqis who want to go back, they have to sign a declaration in which IOM will not be responsible if they face again travel back to their home.
That's very heavy.
Yes, but not surprisingly also there have been Iraqis who have gone back, of course, but mostly to the Kurdish part of Iraq, which is relatively stable.
Deep trouble.
Yeah. So it's up to you to gauge, so to speak, situation. It's never taken for granted that you'll never face the risk that you faced again.
Right.
For the people who don't want to go back for there, there's also other. Other things in PAC you can go to. There's like one thing for women, one thing for people.
About the return itself, there are two types of return. One is a forcible return, forcible repatriation,
mm-hmm.
well, that people are put in closed centers and they with their forced departure.
Mm-hmm.
But our organization or International Organization of Migration deal only with voluntary return. This is one part of the work of PSC, but most people come for different services there, which we have 3 days of open consultations,
mm-hmm.
Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday mornings, so that people come for different services.
They can also just come by and tell their story.
Yes, mostly most people who come there are undocumented immigrants or unrecognized refugees because they cannot avail themselves of the help of other organizations like the OSMW.
Mm-hmm.
So the organizations which are ready to hear their stories and who are organizations like PSC. So that's. Not mostly they choose for it, but that is the only place that they can come, along with some other organizations like Wound on the Nam and others. So they can come for various reasons. They can ask for a food packet. They can ask for help with their appeal about their cases. And also,
you also work with Visit with the Echt.
I only worked with the ACT for one project, which was a project to it was sort of a poll that we conducted with different migrants and refugees from different countries, and mostly undocumented immigrants, to assess their situations, and we came up with the data, and then yeah, to interpret that data and actually give some picture about the situation of undocumented immigrants and the rejected asylum seekers and so on and so forth. Yeah.
Well, PAC, as we know it, it's a charity organization. It's information help for those people. But have you a wish list for the government? It's the foreign ministry who deals with other governments in the world for information. If it is safe to go back.
Oh, yes. I mean, if I understand your question right, I mean, we actually update ourselves always about the situation of countries. I have in my desk country reports of different countries, reports on country of origins by Human Rights Watch, the Home Office of the UK, or Amnesty International, State Department of the US.
Especially for the Belgian government.
Well,
for Mr. De Gucht himself.
well, here, I mean, there could be information regarding countries of origin by which the body which is interested with dealing with asylum cases, they have certain reports about countries apart from individual investigations of asylum seekers.
Because I ask this particular question because the criteria why someone is refused or not to get an asylum or not, they are very arbitrary. Yes. So it is the Minister of the Interior who decides upon, finally. So the government has some criteria in both ways. So if to go back, is it safe to go back? You have to know it, no?
Yes, I mean, we have recently seen that the Belgian authorities have introduced another statute apart from recognizing refugees on the basis of the Geneva Convention. It's what we call the subsidiary protection or subsidiary rescuing. These are mainly for refugees who haven't convinced the authorities that they actually have a profound fear of persecution, which the Geneva Convention puts as a criteria for someone to be recognized. But certain people from certain countries who actually face torture or persecution if they go back to their country, like stateless countries like Somalia, and some countries, travel spots in the world, Iraq,
Darfur,
thank you, and these places. So I think the Belgian authorities are very much aware of the situations in different countries and we also to really be very careful about not handing people back to in the hands of dictatorial regimes and countries which are not actually safe to welcome back their people.
But what you see, like the as called Polan camp just told that, and what we see that people from countries in trouble, they have to go on hunger strike because they are not recognized, like people from Afghanistan or from Iraq. And I mean, if you have a statue of a political refugee, I mean, you come from a country in trouble. I mean, how is it possible that the government wants to send you back? I mean,
yes, it's. I think the politicians know it. Very well. I mean, maybe it's part of their profession to be double-faced in dealing with many things, and I don't know if I would feel myself if I were in their shoes. But certain countries which are really regarded as countries which are not really safe enough, at least it's better to put on hold the case of asylum seekers from these countries then really decide to send them back. If they find it hard to grant them the status right away, I think the best case scenario may be to put on hold the procedure and see if things change or not, rather than rushing to send them back, because they will be held responsible themselves. I mean, it will be no less than cooperating with the very governments or the different factions fighting in these countries who actually commit crimes to their people.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you a question personally?
Yes.
Could you go back to Ethiopia?
I can.
You can.
Yes.
And you don't fear.
I mean, I thought you asked me if I can go back to Ethiopia and talk about Ethiopia, not the other way around. Because that's the subject that I very much feel at ease talking about, because I'm a journalist and I must be very well informed about my country, needless to say. Whether I can go back personally or not, I cannot. And these are circumstances which I found myself in. But if asked if I wish or not, yes, I wish I could take the next plane available. But this is a country which is known to incarcerate its journalists for the simple fact that they air their opinions, or they actually broadcast, or, well, not broadcast, because we have one broadcasting corporation which is owned by the government, but newspaper editors or journalists, if you write something which the government doesn't like, then you are in prison, or you can disappear.
You should be in danger when you return, and you do the same profession.
To be frankly honest, I mean, I don't think I would ever like to practice journalism again in Ethiopia.
All right.
But if there is any way that I can help my compatriot with other things, yes. Because what I experienced, I don't want to experience it again. And yeah, but it's a profession which I never want to abandon, but I never want to face again some people with their Kalashnikovs, and especially after feeling the air of freedom in countries like this, and